It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all along. And good to get the band put back together as we roll on here into the official, I guess this is the first official summertime FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. It just changed, I guess, yesterday. Now it's officially summertime, so now we can talk about summertime stuff, Mike. You agree?
I agree with
it's
you.
It's summertime 100%. Now. Yeah, you go right there below you.
Okay, well, then
we could fix that at the break. All right, we're doing some technical stuff in here. That's what happens when Mike has been on assignment for a couple weeks.
And you've been on assignment too, a little
but
bit.
I hadn't missed a show. I went on assignment, but I didn't miss a show. But yeah, since you and I have talked, you fished Florida Bama tournament?
Fished Florida Bama tournament, sure did. Yeah.
What'd y'all do there?
Well, it was really kind
you
of...
You didn't bring me any fillets, I know that. But.
No, I didn't have time. Since I got through fishing, I had to get on a plane and leave town. But anyway, we did okay. I mean, we won first place Ling, so that was good. We had third place Ling to about the last minute. Somebody brought one in and beat us out of third. We fished for king mackerel about half the time. Did not catch a king mackerel.
Is it going to be another summer of no kings?
It looks like it. It looks like it's going to
be. You think that's
another,
what the no kings protest was? That's what we need to
that,
no,
that might be what it was all about.
No,
you know,
no
I didn't
kings,
think about it.
The no kings protest.
Yeah, they mad about the no king mackerel out there. But anyway, I know of probably about 10 or 12 king mackerel that were caught during the tournament. And that was it. Mark Kennedy won first place, or Max Williams that fishes with Mark. They won first place king and first place Mako Jack.
Amico Jack,
and they won Master Angler.
There you go.
So they did good. So, but I did see a bit. If we had caught this blackfish that we saw out there, a triple tail, man, he's probably 20 pounds or so, and we fished for him.
You and I talked about this after y'all
fished. We caught one, we'd do good.
And he didn't, you and I, so Mike and I have talked about this beforehand, but you said he didn't eat.
He wouldn't touch nothing. Because we didn't have any good bait. I mean, we had squid and cut bait. That's all we had.
And pogies and stuff. But yeah,
pogies and
get offshore bait. You didn't have a shrimp or something.
We didn't
like
have a shrimp or live anything. You know, we tried everything we could, but he just wouldn't touch any of it. You know, so I figured he might be out there and starving to death. He might eat something.
Yeah,
but he wouldn't touch anything we had.
Yeah, it's weird. And maybe at that size, but I mean, you know, you'll come up on stuff in the Gulf, and it'll have blackfish on it, and these are usually smaller ones. I have them eat whatever.
That's the biggest one I believe I've ever seen in the Gulf. I personally. I think I don't remember through all the years I may have, but I don't remember if I ever saw one that big. Most of the time you pull up to grass beds or logs or something, there's usually a blackfish on it, but they're usually 2 pounds.
Yeah, 2 to 5 pounds. Yeah, but you can get them to eat. Usually you can get them to eat other stuff. Thinking about the weirdest thing, and maybe people can chime in on the Facebook page. You go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We've got two different Facebook pages, main one for the station and then for this show. Remember one time, think about it, blackfish bait. I left Fowl River, had to go work a remote. This is back when I was in music radio, before this station even started.
Yeah.
Had to work a remote at Lulu's. And it was like Memorial Day weekend or something like that. And I said, the traffic is going to be nuts. I'd rather just trailer down to Fowl River and launch and run across and go to ICW. And go. Plus, it's more fun than driving a car. So I went across and I stopped and caught some trout. And then I stopped, I guess.
Well, that's the fun part of putting it in Fowl River and going to Lulu's. You get to fish on the way.
But then I fished some of those cap rigs that are further east. I'm a Dolphin Island guy. So I usually don't push those last rigs east going towards the ICW.
Right.
You know, you can keep going east. And I did that day. Pulled up there, and I was going to trout fish, and a few blackfish rolled. I think there are three rolled up. And the only thing I had is gulp. And the gulp I had was chartreuse yellow gulp.
Yeah.
And I caught two of those three blackfish, and they were both keepers. The two I caught were keepers. Caught them on a chartreuse gulp.
How about that?
I mean, they got that gulp that's like, safety crossing off, school crossing officer yellow.
Yeah, bright yellow.
Yeah, bright yellow. I eat both of those.
So. Isn't that amazing what these fish will eat?
Yeah, and then you go find another
pink,
one that gets, yeah.
Bright yellow. Yeah. I mean, just something that well, you, they don't see normally. Yeah. Maybe that's why they hit them.
I don't know. I mean, it's you get the same thing in freshwater. I mean, think about the bass I've caught on a methylate colored zoom trick worm.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like a dang thing that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's nothing that's bubble gum, but jump on it.
And white? What do they see that's white?
But at least there's some white in the bait and that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. White could exist in the bubble gum.
Yeah.
It's chartreuse yellow, but yeah, they so you did that. How was the snapper fishing?
Snapper fishing was okay for me, but it wasn't great. We did catch a limit. But, you know, a lot of small ones. Had a couple 15 or so pounders.
That's good.
But the rest of them were, you know, relatively small. But I want to tell you, they caught some monster snapper over there. I think a 33 or 32 or 31, 30.
Those are giants.
Giants. And Mike Candy, he broke down on Saturday. He had to come in on one engine. But he had three over 25 pounds that he'd caught.
Jeez,
so I don't know if he had
one trip, three one over trip, 25.
Three over 25.
I've never done that. We've had 20s and we've had a 30, but we've never had multiple.
Yeah, I think he had one close to 30, I think. And
wow.
You know, but even with that, he wouldn't even come in third place. Think about that. I mean, a 25-pounder is
you
most
should,
people's
you think you're gonna win.
Lifetime snapper.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've probably caught maybe 10 personally,
mm-hmm.
you know, over 10 pounds. I mean, over 25 pounds in my life, and I mm-hmm. fished that place a lot. The biggest one I ever caught is 32 and another one 31 pounds.
I've never caught 30.
I mean, that's monsters, you know.
At a 28's my biggest, yeah. And my second is like 23, not even close. So.
But that's a lot of trips out in the Gulf to catch that.
And here goes one trip.
Yeah, one trip and caught that. We did have one on one time. I'll tell this story real quick. We were fishing over in Louisiana years ago. I think I was still in my 25 Mako, so I was 95 or 97 or whatever. So, you know, long time ago. And my son Michael had a snapper on and got him right up to the boat. We were getting ready to gaff him. And the hook pulled. I could see the hook getting ready to come out of his mouth. And before I could get anything out of my mouth, the snapper pulled a hook, and I said, well, he'll float, because his mm-hmm. tongue was sticking out. I mean, his air bladder sticking out. So I said, well, we got him, you know. And just as soon as that hook pulled out, he slapped his mouth, busted his air bladder, and went down.
Oh,
it was like unbelievable. But that snapper, I believe, was over 40 pounds. I think he was the biggest snapper. I've caught some 30s, 32s.
You've caught some big snapper,
stuff.
Yeah.
But this was way bigger. I mean, way bigger. I think he was in the 40s. I really do. He was an absolute world-class monster snapper.
It's something to think about, because we've been talking about the size with the pressure, the numbers of snapper. We had Dr. Powers on with us. We talked about the numbers are good, but the average size, you know, dealing with is not great. To have one boat, I mean, you said, I mean, if you would have weighed, you had to weigh something to win that Florida-Bama tournament.
It'd be over 30 pounds, I think.
That's a good sign. I don't know where they were going, but that's a good sign.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, to win, I mean, that's something.
Yeah, oh, it is.
We don't see that. There's years that doesn't win the rodeo.
No, don't.
If you have an upper 20s, you win the rodeo.
Normally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes 30-something pounder win it. But
to
normally,
have that many that are 30-plus pounds.
Right. Normally, high 20s will win the rodeo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Which,
by the way, tickets on sale now for the 92nd Alabama D.C. Fishing Rodeo. Those guys are going to join us here in the next couple weeks on the show as we get ready for the rodeo. So we're thinking about that. But the fishing, the ling, you had some good ling.
We had a 39-pound ling that won it. And then we had another one. I didn't go up there with them to weigh it when we got over to Florabama. But I'm going to say it was 25, 20-something pounds.
They all come from one spot, or did you see ling throughout the day?
Two different places. We were trolling for kings, and they just come up around the boat while we were trolling. And anyway, that we just didn't do any good on the third place one, though.
Well, those are still some, you know.
Yeah. Some good ling, I mean, they've been catching some big ling out there. They've been fishing, a lot of people have been fishing around the ships out there, and they've caught some, you know, 50s and 60 pounders around the ship. recently.
Yeah.
So that's some really big ling.
Yeah, 60-pound ling is a...
60-pound ling is a big ling.
It's a big ling.
Yes, it is. That's a monster.
Better make sure the drag is good and the line is clean on that rod for that fish. Well, that's good. So you had a good trip.
But the fishing has been good overall. The people that I have talked to, I've only been one time. Isn't it terrible? Here it is. You know,
we may have to fire.
End of June, and I've been one time.
We've got to fire ourselves. I hadn't. So I have not been. I have trout fished a little bit, but I have not offshore fished.
Yeah.
But I was out of town. There's been some stuff going on. But
see, that's what happens when you don't have a snapper derby.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happens. Now, if we had a snapper derby,
we'd have fished 2 weeks. Yeah, back when it was 9 days, I fished every dang day.
I would have been at least 4, 5, 6 times by now.
Yeah.
But when I don't have
And I had
to worry
my boat loaded like I would, I used to load my boat like I was carrying refugees.
I know it.
Like a school bus full of people get snapper.
Yeah. So everything's changed, you know. So I haven't been in any panic to try to go snapper fishing because I got plenty of time to go snapper fishing, you know.
Yeah, well said. So, listen, we'll talk some more fishing later on the show. When we come back from the break, something that's going on right now with the Senate reconciliation. You know, when it was in the House bill, they moved this out of the House bill. It showed back up in the Senate bill for the big, beautiful bill. This piece of legislation moved in by Senator Mike Lee to sell as many as 250 million acres of public land out there. And so I had our buddy Lake Pickle. A lot of people know him from his days with Primos. He's now with Meat Eater Network and Onyx Mapping and all that. Had him join me on Midday Mobile earlier in the week to talk about what's proposed here and what you should do if you cherish our public lands out there. So we'll play that when we come back, and then we'll come back on after that interview and get some more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back to FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Here's that conversation I had with Lake Pickle. He's with Onyx and also the Meat Eater Network, talking about the public land sale. This was from the Midday Mobile Show. We'll play this and then come back for more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So here's a clip. As I mentioned at the end of last hour, it's back. It's like one of those horror movies, at least for us public land advocates. You know the movie where they think they've killed the thing or gotten rid of it, and then they turn around, they're relaxing their guard, and all of a sudden here it comes back? Well, it has come back as the Senate now and Mike Lee have put back in the big, beautiful bill a mandate to sell 250 million plus acres of public land. And this is something that came up a lot of debate when it was in the House side. It was defeated there in the House side, but in reconciliation, it's back in the Senate bill. And to talk more about that, he's been a guest on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors over the years. I think the world of this man. He's with Meat Eater Network, Onyx, and his new podcast there, Backwoods University, which is fantastic. I've also known him since back when he was one of the boys with Primos Outdoors. Lake Pickle joins us on Midday Mobile. Hey, Lake.
Hey, man. How are y'all?
We're good. This is, you remember like in a horror movie where they think they get the bad guy and then they're like, okay, everything's cool. Let's turn around here. Let's have a beer or something. Then you're like, oh no, there he is. He's come back. That's how, this was surprising when it came back up because a lot of us thought when it was defeated on the House side, this push to sell the public land was gone, but it is not.
Yeah, man, it's kind of one of those things. It's like I talked to several of my buddies and folks that work in this space and have been advocates for public land for a long time, and it's like, man, it's not an odd thing for, periodic threats against public land to pop up, but for this particular situation, for it to be in the Senate bill, for there to be an obvious pushback and backlash from the public, who the government they're supposed to be representing, for it to get thrown out of that Senate bill, everyone's like happy about it, and then Senator Mike Lee goes and just puts it right back in when it gets to the Senate. It's sickening, man. I don't really know how else to put it.
Yeah, so they're saying this is about affordable housing, and it's often like in state government when I when there's a bill comes up and they say, it's for the children. I said, well, when you hear it's for the children, stop a second, look, and make sure it's for the children. This thing for, I really, is Mike Lee now become the biggest proponent of affordable housing? I see this as a Trojan horse.
Man, here's what I would encourage anyone to do, because like anything that I reference here can be looked up and it could be verified. There have been land sales made in the history of our government, like in pretty recent years, that have been done in the name of affordable housing. Now, what I want you to go do is go look and see how many houses have actually been built on those places. The answer is like none. Like it doesn't happen. That's a pretty answer that we throw up there. Now, sometimes we say like we need affordable housing, and I'm not saying that we don't need affordable housing. That's a legitimate issue. I'm saying that what they're proposing is how we do it is not only a farce, but it's just illogical.
Yeah, it's been, you know, the Utah delegation forever has wanted this sale of public land because they said, oh, well, we'll take it as a state and we'll manage it as a state. But you realize it wouldn't take them but a year or two that they could sell it again. But you said something on social media, and I want to come back to what I was saying in a second. But you said, I'm paraphrasing you, something like, it's the people's land, not the government's. I wonder if you talk about if we had a national vote. I know we're a republic and work differently. But if we had a national vote, we're all going to go to the polls and vote whether to sell our public land or not. What do they think the turnout would be? I think this would be defeated easily.
Yeah, man, it's one of those things. It's like I try to not speculate on somebody's motives, right? Like I try to stay as objective as possible. But when something like this pops up, it's like, man, I don't understand. I can't even begin to wrap my head around how someone, because Mike Lee's not an idiot. He's right. An intelligent guy, obviously. And I was like, I have a really hard time believing that he looks at this. And this goes for any of the other senators that would vote yes on this, with this public land sales included in this bill. I have a really hard time thinking that they would look at this and go, yes, this is good for the American people, because it's not. Like, again, with it, like their job as the government is to represent the people. Another thing, like when Mike Lee put out this video, like he said this statement, in the video, he said, one out of every 3 acres is owned by the federal government. I think that's flat-out dishonesty. Those federal lands are managed by the government. It's not owned by the government. That is the people's land. That land is owned by the people. And just the premise that he thinks he can sell it is flawed, and it's wrong, flat-out just wrong and dishonest.
If they said, hey, there's this 250 million acres, and there's some exceptions, but in 99.999% of the cases, we American citizens can go enjoy ourselves on that land. So if it was something that we couldn't go on, the federal government holds this and nobody's allowed on it, then we might have a different discussion here. But it is the people's land. Mm-hmm. I mean, we celebrate, you know, you look at other places. We get used to the cool roll of the dice that made us Americans, but you go to Europe or somewhere or something like that, you don't go have public access for hunting or fishing or camping or canoeing. It's super limited, where we could just go, you and I would be driving through some BLM land and say, you know what, let's stay here tonight. We'll go ahead and set the tent up here and set up camp. I mean, that is a freedom.
Yeah, it's a freedom, and it's a freedom that there's too many instances that I've personally had in my past and that we as a country have had in our past where it's like, man, we didn't appreciate what we had until it was gone. And I don't want that to happen with our public lands. Two things there, man. The first one being, one thing that really hit home with me, because I've been talking about this being as vocal as I could ever since this came out with Mike Lee and the Big Beautiful Bill and the Senate bill where we're at currently right now. One is, if you don't want to take my word for it, you can go and look at this bill in print, right? This is not hearsay. This is not he said, she said. You can go and look at this bill that's going to be voted on, where it outlines, like, not a we might sell some public land. It is a mandatory disposal of public lands, okay? Like, that is going to happen if this bill passes as is. the second thing, and I feel like I would be disingenuous if I didn't mention this, because this came up. I found out this week, I think yesterday actually, that one of my own senators from Mississippi came out in support of this. And obviously, I was very disappointed to hear that, right? I mean, I was like, ah, come on. And so obviously, I've been calling her office a lot. But I posted about that, trying to respectfully posted about it, trying to get some people from here at home, like, hey, call your senator, call Cindy Hyde-Smith, call Roger Wicker, and say, please reconsider your position. Now, granted, Cindy Hyde-Smith is the one who came out in support of the bill. I don't know where Senator Wicker falls right now. But the reason I bring that up, Mississippi, Alabama, the same, like, we all know these are red states, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing that I have run into, and not in an aggressive way, but some of the questions that I've been asked ever since, like, coming out and saying, like, hey, one of our Mississippi state senators supporting this is like, man, I don't know, like, I'm a Republican, she's a Republican, maybe this is the best thing. Here's my stance on that. One thing that has become common, at least in recent years, at least when I've started paying attention to this stuff, when it starts messing with public lands and hunting rights and all that, we have a tendency of saying, I vote for this person, and that means that I send them on off to Washington, and whatever they do, I guess it's good with me. I voted for them. That's not how democracy works, man.
No, and they wouldn't have a phone number or an email if it was that way. I mean, you put that person in office, and you, I mean, how many times have you started an email? I voted for you and appreciate X, yeah. Y, and Z. But this thing over here, letter M, this thing, I disagree with the way you're setting up your vote. I mean, that's right? The system, man.
Right. That's democracy.
That's them wanting to get reelected. If enough people say, hey, we put you up there once, but if you, and I like these other things you did, that was cool. But this thing over here, if you do it, I'm not going to vote for you next time. That's our control. That's how this works.
That's how it's supposed to work. And so what I'm saying is like, if you decide, like, hey, like, personally, like I said, I have called both of my senators' offices and I've stated my thoughts on this multiple times. I've been respectful. I'm big on that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't call custom or anything. But, like, just because I call my senator's office and say, hey, I really wish you to reconsider your position, I don't think that's right that you supported this, there's things that Cindy Hyde-Smith has done that I've supported. That doesn't mean that I'm going to write her off as a senator. If you decide, hey, I'm going to call my senator from Alabama and let them know that, like, I really hope they oppose this because I don't want public lands to be sold, that's okay for you to do. That doesn't mean that you're denying, or that doesn't mean that you're betraying the party that you usually vote for. That's not what that means at all. It's just democracy, man. Like, let your voice be heard.
Well, and I would say this, going out of the legislative branch to the executive, if you write the letter to President Trump, because he said he wouldn't sell off public lands. I remember it. I mean, and his son, Don Jr., has been in the previous term, big advocate for public lands and access for hunting and fishing. Maybe just a reminder of that, say, hey, you know, you're the boss. You can get those Republicans in the Congress to do what you want. Need to remind them of that.
Yeah, and like I said, there is 100% a way for everybody that is listening to this right now. If, and even like for this issue, if there's another issue down the line, if there's something that you disagree with, contact your senators, man. That's what that's literally their job, is to represent you. And I you know, some people are saying, they're like, man, you got to be tired of talking about it. I'm like, trust me, I'm exhausted from talking about it. But they won't try to sell it, so I'm going to keep talking about it until they quit.
Well, yeah, the bad guy in the movie keeps coming back when you think you let your guard down and it's back. I thought the same thing after it was bounced out of the House side of it. I kind of relaxed for a second and I go, oh, crap, it's back here. And you said something important, too. Y'all listen to the word that Lake used. It mandates. It's not just you have the luxury of, if needed to. It mandates of the sale of these tracts, nomination and sale of the tracts. I mean, this passed, it wouldn't be a maybe they could keep this in their pocket. They would be compelled to sell this land.
Right. And here's another, like, for folks that are wanting some more details of this. And again, like, I promise, you can look all of this up. It's there. So the breakdown, like, if this goes through and if this land gets sold, right, they have all these write-ins on, how stuff can be deemed, like, how certain parcels can be put up to be sold and that sort of thing. So this is the actual breakdown if some of this public land was to be sold, right? The breakdown is this. So let's say they sell a piece of land. 5% of it will go back to the state in which the land is, right?
Mm-hmm.
5%, another 5% will go to the backlog for maintenance on federal lands. That's 10%. The other 90% of those funds will go to the general treasury fund to help balance the budget gap.
But it's, and I'm a big balanced budget person, but we're not talking about enough money to make it. We would, this is like, I mean, instead of the family changing their spending habits and not putting everything on a credit card or something like that, it's like they go take something to the, sell it at the pawn shop for a tenth of what it's worth to get them through for another day, and they don't change their lifestyle. This is not going to solve the problem.
Man, in a perfect world, right? And I'm saying not in a perfect world of them selling this land, right? This is not what I'm pushing for, obviously. But in a perfect scenario of if they sold this land, they could make, and this is estimating, obviously, they could make, I don't know, $3 billion mm-hmm. with a B, which sounds like a lot of money.
To me, it is.
Until you realize... That, yeah, I mean, it is a lot of money until you realize that it's being used to balance a budget gap that's in the trillions.
Yep.
Then it's like, what are we doing here? Like, we are selling off what I would argue to be one of America's greatest assets for the sake of a group of people in a government administration that can't balance their own budget.
Yep.
And they're selling off the things that the average American enjoys. Like, you're go look at that map, man. Like,
oh,
everybody that's listening, go look at the map. That's the other thing. Mike Lee will say, these are places that, you know, aren't being managed, and they're places that you don't go hunt and fish anyway. Go look at that map, and then go tell me if you wouldn't go. Like, I have hunted on some of those spots that are included in those maps. I get this issue strikes incredibly personal, incredibly close to home to me.
That makes two of us. I mean, I have hunted, and I told you, y'all, when we were in the news break, I was talking to Lake just privately, but one of the tracks is I drew a tag, you know, a mule deer hunt in Utah on one of those tracks. And even, like, the BLM stuff, so Bureau of Land Management, back here in the South, we, you know, in the East, we don't have the BLM. But people say, well, that's just sitting there and doing nothing. Listen, the BLM, not only can we hunt and fish and camp on it, the country does make money, grazing leases, energy production.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's sitting there without, there's all kind of, I mean, you'll go into an area you're hunting, but a guy's running cattle there, and then there's energy extraction over there. It's being used. It's making money.
Yeah, it's such a, here's another thing, because I'm hitting on like all the things that I've been inquired about is like, man, what's the guy like? There's guys I know, they've reached out to me that live around here. I would imagine, I'd speculate there's some in Alabama that are in a similar situation, and they were like, man, I don't travel to hunt much, I don't hunt public much, like there's a lot of stuff in this bill that I like, and I'm really not motivated enough to ask them, you know, to not pass this bill just for the sake of public land because it doesn't really affect me. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that I would argue that that's incorrect, and I still try to push those people to call and oppose it. But the biggest one and, like, the most easy one for me to point out to is, like, man, I don't know what it's like around home with you, but around here, when you start hearing people talk about deer camps and deer leases and prices of recreational land, what do you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, man, like, hunting land is sky high right now. Man, you can't even find a lease anymore. Man, those hunting camps are a thing of the past. What do you think is going to happen to that, to lease prices and hunting land prices, if they start taking public land away?
Obviously, it's going to go through the roof. And the ability, I mean, you and I, when you didn't have money for a hunting club, I mean, you and I both cut a lot of teeth chasing turkeys and other critters on public land growing up. I mean, that's what we had. And I could buy a license and some gear, and I could go, even if I didn't have money for a lease.
Dude, some of my most... like fond memories of growing up hunting were just stepping into some of the national forest around here when I did not have a clue what I was doing, but I knew I had thousands of acres of public land to just go explore and spook a turkey on because I didn't know what I was doing, but I had the freedom to go do that, man. And like, this is such like, this is not an anthill that we want to kick. You can't unkick it. Once they've set this precedent, man, it's a scary one, and that's why I feel so passionate about it. I want my kids, my grandkids, the future generations, I want them to be able to hunt. I want them to be allotted the same freedoms that I had.
Well, and just imagine, too, if this goes through the 11 Western states and they get that 5% back by state, don't you know it's coming to a state near you? Even if y'all don't travel to hunt, or canoe or camp or whatever, it's going to come to your state and they're going to say, 5%, we could, you know, we could use that in our budget. We'll sell, you know, we'll let the Fed sell that off too, so we can get our 5% cut. It will infect every state.
Yeah, man, you can read that bill and you can look at the fine print of it, and I'm telling you, it just, there's so many things in there that just points to the glaring sign that they're not looking into our best interest. There's a line in there, I can't remember where exactly it is, but it talks about highlighting parcels is going to help consolidate the checkerboard pattern, right?
Yep.
Like the checkerboard pattern that, man, that got famous during like landlocked stuff and all that. Go look at like the history of anything Mike Lee or anyone else has done in the past where they wanted to, quote, consolidate the checkerboard pattern lands. It hasn't happened until right now. No one cared about checkerboard pattern lands. And if you're not familiar, like, you could just Google like landlocked land, landlocked BLM land, checkerboard pattern BLM land, you'll find it. And up until like this past year, when that got settled in the 10th Circuit Court, that stuff was landlocked and you couldn't get to it unless you had private access. Now the public can access it. And now suddenly, magically, that the public has more access to those lands, now they're okay with consolidating that?
Interesting. Like,
come on, man.
It's interesting.
Like, come on.
Hey, where's the best thing before we run out of time? You talk about, and people can Google all these things and go, but I mean, I know there's a bunch of stuff up at Meat Eater. Is that the best place to get the, because you can see the maps and stuff, or where would you send people?
Meat Eater, yeah, Meat Eater. So a common, like, one thing to point out there, it's themeateater.com. Themeateater.com. Jordan Sillers wrote an excellent article there, and that's where you can see the map. The Teddy Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, TRC, not great.
Blakey, there, we lost your signal. Put the antenna up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go.
Hello.
Yeah, there, we got you.
Okay. The TRCP, the Teddy Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, they have a lot of great resources. You can go there, and they at that website, they make it incredibly easy to find representatives and then send them an email or give them a phone call. But if you want to just see the map and, like, verify some of this stuff, go to the Meat Eater website and see the article that Jordan Sillers wrote.
It's pretty concise there, and I'll put some links up on my social media to it as well. Like, hopefully the next time we talk, we'll talk about what a great job, and this was defeated. You know, they did it before for the House side. Y'all can do it again on the Senate side, and we need to work together and make sure you ring Senators Britt and Tuberville's phone about this. Blake, thank you, man, and love the new podcast, and hopefully we'll get to talk soon.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, there goes Blake Pickle. What do you think? Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Borg, glad to have you all along. And that was a interview I did with Lake Pickle.
Opening.
Yeah, with Lake Pickle from, he's with Primos Forever.
Yeah.
He's now with Meat Eater and Onyx. And I want to celebrate, too, there. It's funny, you and I were talking during the break, and this will probably come back up, talk about Buffalo. And he's got his own podcast now at the Meat Eater Network. And called Backwoods University, and I'm just proud of the boy.
Yeah.
I'm just proud of Lake.
He's done
great,
good.
Yeah, he's a great communicator
good
and good, solid dude.
Yeah.
And he, his first episode was about, and you know, I like, Mike knows this, I'm a nerd, and books are,
a little.
So, yeah, about Buffalo in the eastern United States. You know, we all heard those stories about how, you know, Buffalo were all through even the southeast and north. So he did a whole episode on where they were and kind of, and you think about places in Kentucky, like the Bourbon, the Buffalo Trace, and the, you know, I read the old Daniel Boone books. He talked about, so he went up to see where they were. And so it's cool if you get a chance, to check out his podcast. But yeah, we're talking about this new, you know, it was in the House bill, it's pushed out, it comes back, Mike Lee
so
puts
it in the
Senate
bill, and it was, they rejected it.
That's right.
They
enough pressure,
okay.
Enough people spoke up that they said no.
Yeah.
So then you know how reconciliation works. The House does their bill, they send it to the Senate. The Senate then either concurs, which they never do, they make changes and send it back for, you know, they make their edits and then see if the House. So in that, Mike Lee, which he's not the first Utah senator to do this, put in this provision about mandating the sale of 250 plus million acres of public land.
That's a lot of land.
It's a lot. You're in the land business. Yeah. That raises your eyebrow. That's a lot of land.
That's an unbelievable amount of land.
And they did it under the guises too. The other thing they did is said, well, this is for affordable housing. Well, if there's a couple of BLM tracts around Las Vegas they want to sell for affordable housing, that's one thing. You're not putting affordable housing in the places we're hunting and fishing.
No.
So don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining, Mike Lee. I'm sorry. He's a Republican, conservative guy, but on this one,
he's way off.
I'm not lined up with this.
Something's wrong there. There's something in the woodpile there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's another question too. So some of these deals where the states would get the land back to them to then resell. Well, come on.
Yeah. Come on.
Even though we'll be allowed to sell it, we won't sell it. They will not be able. Government cannot. Like I said to Lake in the interview, government cannot not spend money, and to sell an asset that is the land that makes us special from any other country in the world. That we have land for folks to just go recreate on.
Yeah. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we have that. To sell that, to do it, they're not changing spending. So why would you sell the thing? Then you don't have any of the land and we still have a debt?
That assets are gone.
Gone.
I mean, it's like we was talking about in the break. Mm-hmm. You know, like a family that owned 1,000 acres and every year they spend $100,000 over their budget or $200,000 over the budget. So what do? They sell 100 acres. They take care of it. Next year, spending still the same. Next year, they sell 100 acres. And every year they do that.
And then after year 10.
Yeah, no more assets.
And they still are overspending.
They're still overspending. Yeah, and the government is 100% that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'll ever learn.
So why give them, given that this thing that's so special. And yeah, listen, it's like, said you and I were talking during the break, and I think I said to Lake in that interview, yeah, I got a dog in this hunt. When I go out west, I have never hunted private land.
Yeah.
And where I'll go this year, I drew a Utah mule deer tag. I'll be hunting public land. It's one of the one of the pieces they showed that, would be mandated to sell is right in there where I'm hunting.
One of the places where you're going to hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, is it within the unit that I drew in Utah? Is there private land? Yeah, but tell you what, I don't after spending the money to get out there. I don't have money to go then pay for a tag. You know, I mean, these hunts I've done out west, I've done them all on public land. It's amazing not only for the people who live there, but some hayseed from Alabama can go out and enjoy the Rocky Mountains and the high country hunting and all that. It's real special.
Sure, it is.
You know, it's so. Yeah, it really is a thing that's different about us and other countries. You know, we have national parks, and other countries took our lead, and they did national parks, okay? Not all of them, but some of them did.
Yeah.
They got their national parks and preserves. Those are great things. I love our national parks, too. I go to them and all that. But a national park, you can hike and do all that stuff, and you can fish, but you can't hunt.
Yeah.
And on the lands we're talking about, National Forest and BLM, Bureau of Land Management Property, we also can make – the nation cuts timber, and we sell timber, make money. We extract oil and gas.
Yeah.
We have cattle grazing leases. There's money coming in from these things.
That's right.
You know, at the same time, those things are going on, yet I could also draw a tag and try to kill a pronghorn where somebody else is, that doesn't exist in other countries.
And the asset's growing in value, too.
Big time.
Absolutely. Every year that asset's growing. So, no, I think it's a terrible thing for them to try to do that.
Yeah, I think about it even here at home. And like the importance of Forever Wild here. And it was interesting because of the two worlds I live in, hunting and fishing, but also kind of the political realm. And when that last renewal for Forever Wild came up, there were people calling me and they're like, well, these are Washington people that they're not elected officials. They were lobbyists and that, like, we can't understand what's going on down there because you're a red state and you want to keep having this because the money comes from oil and natural gas leases. It goes into the fund that buys the land for Forever Wild.
Right.
So that could be used for, why are y'all keep, green lighting this thing? I said, because people here like to get outside and have a good time and they shouldn't have to be a millionaire to be able to afford to go go hunt deer.
Land, what would people that didn't have the money to go hunt, fish, enjoy the lakes on it, whatever it is.
I said, that's what I told that guy in Washington. It's been a long time ago. I said, you don't get us, man.
Yeah.
Republican, conservative folks here, and those same people you know, want a place to go. You know? Yeah. So, but that's, the politics of the outdoors in the mix. So.
Yeah. Well, I hope it does not go through. I hope they kick that out and don't sell any land.
Yeah, me too. So, y'all, remember, like I said in that interview, you know, you just go, you can Google it. It's their name.senate.gov, but it'd be Brit.senate.gov, Tuberville.senate.gov. Takes you to their contact page where you can send an email, send a politely worded email. Don't, I mean, act like you got some upbringing. Politely upward, but say absolute no.
Yeah.
You know, and people say, well, I voted for Senator Brett. I voted for Senator Tuberville. Yes. And you don't just vote for somebody and never, because somebody had said the other day, well, you voted for those people, so you shouldn't challenge what they, well, no. You vote for a representative and say, hey, here's something that I want you to vote yes or no on.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That's right. It's the way it's supposed to work.
And they're supposed to go, hmm, a whole bunch of people don't want me to vote for this thing. I sure would like to get reelected. And in Tuberville's case, you could just say, hey, I'd like to vote for you for governor, but if you do this in your Senate role, I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And they'll, you know, enough people do it. Attention's paid, and that's how our system works. It's supposed to work. And that's, believe me, if they have inboxes full of people saying, do not vote, kick out that provision for selling public land. If they have inboxes full and their staff comes to them and says, Senator, I've gotten 614 calls today from people who said they do not want you to have that provision in there, they will take notice. Now, well, one person does it, but if we all do it, they take notice.
Well, if 60, 70% of the people are saying no, don't vote for it, and only 20 or 30% or whatever saying, yeah, vote for it, then they're going to go with the majority.
That's
right. I guarantee you.
So it is, you know.
It's all about a vote.
Yeah, and we can absolutely say how system's broken and all that stuff. But in this case specifically, that does make a difference. If we all band together and say, hey, don't sell the dang public land. Yep. Yep. We want to hunt and fish on that land. Yep. You know, we want to go camp and, you know. So, yeah, keep that up. All right, back here at home, we talked about this a little bit last week. I had Lee Davis from G&D on. Just a heads up, Chufa. I mean, it's now you can, now Lee and I talked about it. You can, there's people who plant in May and there's people plant in September.
Yeah,
you can get away. You know, you can make. But if you're thinking about Chufa, you'd be on the ball on that. And we are really getting close here on time here. If you want to have a dove field, and even with brown top millet, which, you know, brown top millet is the go getter of
it's
the seed
60
world.
Days, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it make a. You know, you can make a seed head, and then you can burn it back with glyphosate, but in maybe 40, but everything's got to work out. You got to give yourself 60.
Yeah.
And because not only does it need to grow, you need it to dry out unless you want to spray it. I'd rather not have to spend the money on glyphosate if I don't have to.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Die. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you've been saying, you know, we ought to, well, now's the time to do it. I know it's, you know, beach season and fishing season, but there's some of us that stay in the woods this time of year because stuff's got to get done.
Yeah. So. A lot of stuff you need to be doing right now in the country.
Yes.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah. And yes, is it hot? Yes, it is. But, yeah, there's a lot of good
Most
work
Most people
to
got air-conditioned tractors now, though. A lot of them.
Yeah. Well, one
Not
day,
everybody, I know.
Yeah, one day I'll be
a lot of people.
One day I'll be a grown-up and get that. But for right now, I'm sweating to the oldies.
Yeah.
All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. And start thinking about this, too. So, yeah, stuff to do in the woods also. I mean, it's rodeo season coming up.
Yep.
It's,
and I don't know what's going to happen, Sean, rodeo season.
Yeah.
With all the Billy Goat Hole mess up down there, it's still closed. It's going to be closed. It's probably going to be maybe late August or September, I think, probably before it opens back up. And it is a mess down there right now.
Now, I would say this. You can – so I since we – I guess since you and I last talked, I went to the island, stayed, camped out of the boat, you know, Cuddy Cabin down there.
We had a launch.
And it's good in launching, but I do – I mean, I'm shooting myself in the foot, but it actually only works for people who are going to stay overnight on your boat. I'll go Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
When everybody's pulling out, and I launch then.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Late afternoon. For me, because it's funny, I get a great parking place, and I come back, and my truck's right there, and people are looking at me how it happened. And,
yeah.
You know, you have to, but one thing, too, is they've got that shuttle cart going on down there, at the island, so you can
But I think it starts at 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
I'll launch at 4:30.
Yeah, so I don't work for the Mike Wards in the world, but I'm just trying to help out the rest of the civilians.
Yeah, so that's good for them.
Now, we'll talk about this more next week for another edition of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.